Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
Now, the show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawn Mowers, The 99 Restaurants, Sing Sang Cocktail in the Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Swung on that. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast. His 60th home run of the year. Wow. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
Well, there it is, Aaron Judge, home run number 60. He's looking now for 61 and 62, and guess who has to pitch to him over the next 4 days? That's right. The fireballing staff of your 2022 Boston Red Sox. How about that? You can't make this crap up. As if a bad season couldn't get any worse. Now you got to serve up number 61 and 62 to Judge in the next 4 days. Or not. Maybe they can actually get him out. How's that for a stunning concept? So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985. If you listen to the show, you know that usually on Wednesdays, we have Jared Carabas in. Today's Thursday, but Jared was not in last night. So he joins us now. Jared Carabas of DraftKings via Zoom is here on the show tonight with myself and Joe Murray. Jared, are you there?
Tony, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, you sound good, too.
Yeah, I got a good mic.
Oh, you sound nice and clear. What are you using for a mic?
Very expensive mic. I think it's, the Shure SM7B?
Okay, so you got yourself a real, like, broadcast mic. You're not using one of the USB.
I do. Some people think that I'm just a Red Sox fan. This is my job, Tony. I do have a nice mic.
Okay, good. Well, I'm happy to hear that. So let me start with you. What are you doing with Judge in this series? And let me start with the most obvious question. Are you pitching to him, Jared, or are you walking him? What are you doing?
Oh, pitching to him. Alex Cora actually already addressed this today.
Yeah, I don't want to know what Alex Cora is saying. I want to know what you're saying.
Oh, I'm pitching to him. I'm pitching to him.
Good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? You're out of it. I think come the postseason, there's no reason to pitch to him. Like, let the other guys try and beat you. But in this four-game series, if you're the Red Sox, who cares? Pitch to the guy. And I don't know if you saw the numbers, Tony, but Michael Wacha, in his career against Aaron Judge, 0 for 14 with 9 strikeouts.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow, okay. I did not know that. Those are some compelling numbers. Mm. And obviously he's on the mound tonight against Jameson Taillon, right, of the Yankees.
Correct.
Starting in that game. I also saw this interesting nugget from Pete Abraham, your pal, Jared. Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. The Red Sox have intentionally walked Aaron Judge once in 66 plate appearances this season and three times in 365 career plate appearances. Just three times in 365 plate appearances, basically a little more than a half a season. Unless it's some really obvious situation, writes Abraham on Twitter, it would be surprising if they walked him intentionally, in this series. And I agree. I'm pitching to him. I think Cora's pitching to him. One of the things I want to ask you, though, Jared, is the context of this season for Judge. And I don't remember if I asked you this specific question last week or not, but Shaughnessy, for example, says that Judge is the true or legitimate home run king, home run champion. How do you look at this season? Do you look, and I'm eager to hear what fans think of this as well. So again, 617-779-0985. Joe Murray will get your thoughts also. But how do you look at the season? Do you view it as, is he the true home run champion? Does this erase Bonds or Sosa or Maguire? Is it erase all of that stuff? Not that he's going to get up that high in terms of the numbers, or you never know. Or I'm just curious as to your whole assessment of it.
No, I mean, I'm very pro steroid, Tony. I acknowledge Barry Bonds as my true home run king. You have to look at it by the era. Like yes, Barry Bonds was taking whatever Big Mac, Sosa, those guys, but they were also facing guys that were juiced to the gills as well. Like that was just the time period. Obviously if Aaron Judge hits 65 home runs, it's like, does that, I think Sosa got as high as what, 66 maybe? Cause he hit 60 in three straight seasons.
Correct.
I think the way that I've looked at this entire season is that it sounds weird to say the American League record. I mean, it's you're chasing Maris. It's a Yankee chasing Babe Ruth, who is a Yankee, chasing Maris, who is a Yankee, and Aaron Judge is a Yankee. Like it's exciting in that regard. But yeah, I kind of look at it as Maris, chasing Maris is its own thing. And I think baseball fans are smart enough to put the guys that pass Maris in different tiers. Like if Aaron Judge is clean and he passes him, it's like, well, yeah, like Aaron Judge did it. And we all know that, you know, well, we don't know, but like, whatever, Aaron Judge did it clean. And then you have guys like Bonds and Big Mac and Sosa, they did it, but it was a different time period.
Okay. True or false, television ratings for the Red Sox game will be noticeably higher tonight for people watching Judge.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it reminded me, because I mean, I was 9 years old, but I remember the summer of 98 when they would just, you'd be watching like a football game and they would cut in to show you Big Mac's at bats or Sosa's at bats. It was special. It's been like that. They've been cutting in to show you, like if you were watching ESPN or whatever, they will cut in and show you Aaron Judge's at bats. And they've been doing that with Pujols too. So if there's one thing that has stood the test of time, it's that people in this country love home runs. Like even if people say baseball's boring or I don't have a dog in the fight or it's football season, who cares about baseball right now? People still care about homers. People care about round numbers and milestones. And I think that people are, regardless of what Bonds ended up with, 73 and Big Mac at 71. I think that people still care about Aaron Judge and his pursuit.
Okay, I want to follow up with you on that in a second, Jared, because I disagree with you. But let me get Joe Murray's thoughts first on Judge. Go.
Well, I think the whole Maris number is big, right? Anybody who can pass that's big. It's been an American League record for years. Whether people do hold Bonds as the home run champ or not, like that's a different story. But I'm just impressed that he's done it in a certain amount of games. That was kind of the Babe Ruth, Roger Maris debate was how many games they did it in. I'm curious with these games remaining how many he can actually get to. But if he breaks the American League record, that's something that stands. So I think that's a big deal. Plus, he's a member of the Yankees. It's a big deal. But overall, though, the steroid era versus this, I think this is big for now. And I know I said this earlier, but this is a guy expected to do this. Like, he looks like a science experiment. The guy mashes the baseball. It is interesting that he's got a contract coming up soon and all that. But this has been his best season, and people thought he could do this. And I'm interested to see where it finishes.
Okay, the fact that he bet on himself, to me, is the best part of the whole story. But I want to focus on what you just said a second ago, Jared. The idea that Americans still love the home run. We still love, you know, the round number, the key stat. And that is why people will tune in. Do you think that this would be the same story if it were someone playing for the Arizona Diamondbacks?
No.
Okay. Thank you. So, because to me, the fact that it's Judge and the fact that he's a Yankee makes the story. And now look, if Aaron Judge were playing for the Cubs, and again, as Joe said, Judge is sort of a unique cat. He's 6'7", he's 250 pounds or 60 pounds or whatever he is. I mean, he's absolutely freaking gigantic. He's Paul Bunyan with an axe, and he's getting up there and he's hacking away. Let's not forget that. Was it in his first full season that Judge hit 52 home runs?
Yes, 2017.
Okay, so you know, Judge out of the gate was a monster. He was an absolute monster, hit 52 home runs at age 25. The real issue with Judge since then, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So when he's been out there, he's hit home runs. But, oh, come on, be honest, Red Sox fans, I don't mean you, Jared. It's because he's a Yankee. That's what makes it a story. It's a big part of the story that he's a Yankee and that it's Maris and it's a team record and a league record. But it's a fact that he's a Yankee. And again, the contract story, all of it. Aaron Judge has had this assault on a pitching throughout the course of the year, and he's a Triple Crown candidate. And I'll tell you this, I'll say this part, and again, Jared, I'm not really railing at you. But the other day when he hit number 60, and I wish I had grabbed the audio, and naturally I didn't because I'm a jackass. So the other day when he hit number 60, Buster Olney was on ESPN in the morning, and I respect Buster's baseball knowledge as much as any guy out there. And Buster Olney called it the greatest offensive season in baseball history.
That's not true.
And I can't agree with that. That's ridiculous. Barry Bonds had 73 home runs. Barry Bonds had a year, and now I got to look it up, where he walked 240 times, or what the hell the number was. I'm going to get it for you here momentarily, so just give me a moment. He
walked, I can tell you right now,
232 times in 2004.
Yep. He was 39.
He had 45 home runs and 373 official at-bats. His slugging percentage that season was .812. They walked him 232 times. He hit .362. And no one wanted to pitch to him, and he still hit 49 home runs. So Alex Cora was asked about this the other day, and Cora said, you know, someone said, is this the best season you've ever had from Aaron Judge? And he said, no, I got to go with Bonds there. You know, I saw what he did with a limited number of swings. People were afraid to put the ball over the plate. And when they did, he was getting maybe one pitch to hit per at bat or even per game. And he was hitting it out of the ballpark.
He had 617 plate appearances that year, only 373 at bats.
I mean, Jared, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. He intentionally walked 120 times.
Right. The intentional walks were 120.
Yes.
Right. 232 total. So thank you for that. But you know, I hear people say, well, he was on steroids. Well, we don't know if Judge is or he isn't. And I think honestly, I don't really care whether he is or he isn't. They test, he passed the tests, and he's not alone if he is somehow managing to pass the tests. I don't really care. I just think this idea of, you know, well, Bonds was on steroids and Judge isn't. How do you know? Nobody knows. So just take it for what it is, which is an assault on the record book and an assault on pitching. And the thing that really makes Judge's season notable to me, Jared, the next closest guy in the game has 40 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
40. So he has hit 50% more homers than the next closest guy. If Mark McGwire had done that, the year he hit 70, he would have hit 103 home runs because Sammy Sosa hit 66 and he was second. Okay. Judge has taken the second place guy who is 20 behind and hit 50% more. I mean, it's an astronomical number, absolutely freaking astronomical. So to me, fans should absolutely be dialed in. Anyway, we're off and running. There's some other stuff I want to ask Jared, but this will be the crux of the conversation this evening. We'll stay there, 617-779-0985, tonight on the Baseball Hour. Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Three infielders on the left side for Judge, and here's the 3-1. Drill deep to left field. There it goes! Number 60! Slide over, babe. You've got some company. Aaron James Judge has tied George Herman Babe Ruth with 60 home runs.
You know, I wrote a thing for the web the other day, not that you give a crap, but the whole premise of it is why you should be rooting for Aaron Judge. And the fact of the matter is, and Jared, I don't know if you agree with me or not. The whole idea that he bet on himself, the Yankees offered him 7 years, 213, and he was already going to, on top of the 19 that he was going to make this year as part of his last arbitration year. So the whole thing was 8 years, $232 million, I think it was. Judge turned him down. But the extension was basically 30 and a half per year for 7 years. He turned him down. Jared, don't you love that?
I do. I do. And
well, of course you do, especially you want to see the Yankees pay every nickel they have to pay.
Oh, I don't have a dog in the fight, Tony. I think for the most part, I love a guy that can bet on himself. And he's having the best bet on yourself season maybe of all time. Like, I can't think of a guy it would be impossible. Like, you're gonna pass Maris and win the triple crown for a team that won the division. I don't know that you can have a better one. So yeah, no, I love it. But I think ultimately he wants years. Like, I think that there have been some speculation about, you know, could the Mets come in and go crazy and do like
10 years
for five. No, like just like bump up the AAV and just do go crazy with like a $50 million average annual value over 5 years or something like that. Judge wants years. So we'll see how that plays out.
Okay. So Judge is what? Is he 30 and he'll be 31 next year?
Turn 30 this year.
He turned 30 this year. And just out of curiosity, like I'm putting you on the spot, Jared. Mm-hmm. I should know this already, but what month is his birthday? So is he going to be 31 before the season starts? This year, as you turn 31 early in the season, it's going to be a situation. Go ahead.
He turned 30 in April.
Okay, so he's going to play next year at 31.
Yep.
Okay, so he turned down 7 more years at 31. He's going to want more. He's going to want 8 years at least. Yep. Mm-hmm. And he may want, at this stage, he may want 10. Like, in other words, I don't think he'll get it, but there is a chance he, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is this. I wonder how much money he'll really make himself. I'm eager to see how this plays out because 7 and, you know, 213, if he gets 8 and 250, okay, well, he came out ahead. I'm not telling you the $37 million is anything to sneeze at, but I don't think the potential gain with Judge is going to be $100 million. Now, I might be wrong. Someone might say to him, we'll give you the 10 years and the $320 million. But a guy his size, I have a hard time believing, is going to be functional at age 40. So before we do anything else, though, let's take a couple of calls because I am eager to hear how people feel about this whole series with Judge, about his year. And obviously, to win the Triple Crown, he's got to beat out Xander Bogaerts for the batting title as well. So John is in Boston. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. I'm a huge Yankee fan, and I'm glad that Aaron Judge bet on himself, but the thing about Judge is I don't think he's on steroids, and they did this thing on Major League Baseball tonight where his pitching coach throws him 10 pitches of fastballs, and then he throws him 10 pitches of sliders, and then he throws him 10 pitches where Judge doesn't know where it's going or what it's going to be. So his discipline at the plate, that's a huge factor this year for him.
Hey, John.
And I think the Yankees.
Hey, yep. Hey, John, before you go on, first of all, I'm glad you spelled out the approach for me, but I don't think they're doing anything revolutionary in terms of what he's doing during batting practice. And with all due respect, because you said you're a Yankee fan, how could you possibly know whether he's using or not?
I just think he's not, because when he was a rookie, look how big he was when he was a rookie, and he's the same size.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with how big you get. It's got nothing to do with how big you get. So I love this one, which, well, if you look at it, listen, you don't know. You choose to believe he's not using because that's what you want to believe. So again, which is fine. I mean, you can do whatever the hell you want. But you can't say, well, I don't think he's using. Well, how could you possibly know that? I don't know that. I don't know if he is or he isn't. Jared, do you know?
Yeah, I do. We hang out a lot. I've never seen him do it.
Joe Murray, do you know whether Aaron Judge is using?
No, but he's a huge human.
Okay, so again, but there are all types of designer steroids. Some will add bulk, some won't. And the biggest thing with steroids was not the strength it added over the course of the year or for any particular player. The biggest thing was you didn't get tired. You didn't wear down. You maintained your level of strength for a whole season. That was the biggest gain of steroids. Because, Jared, you, like I, as a baseball person, you know that the game is designed to wear you down. That's what it is. The whole thing is about beating you into the ground and beating you into submission. Because to do it every month for six straight months is really effing hard. In fact, I would go so far as to call it almost physically impossible. Unless you have some help. Now, the way teams manage players in this day and age, they give them more rest along the way so that maybe they don't lose as much. So maybe they figured out something there, or maybe he's using. I don't know. I don't really care. I'm sort of with Felger on this one. We were talking about this today. How could anybody possibly say he's not using? I mean, we know too much now. People get away with too much. The cheaters are always ahead of the testers. They know how to circumvent the tests. Let's not be ridiculous about it.
Wouldn't that be one of the stupidest things that an athlete has ever done, ever? Like on the record, I don't believe he ever has, but let's just say hypothetically he was this year. If he were to get caught after turning down $200 million from the Yankees and you're going to go out and have this kind of season where you know that people are going to be like, interesting. And so you're probably going to get tested more than you ever have in your career. And then you get popped going into free agency. Maybe the dumbest thing that anyone has ever done. If
okay.
That were the case.
And Jared, that's an excellent argument. It is. And I would tell you, I'd be willing to tell you that there were guys who probably used in their next to last arbitration year, their last arbitration year, or going into free agency who scored big.
Sure.
Who scored big?
Does anybody know his personality at all? Because I don't know much about him. Does he have his head on his shoulders, Jared? Do you know that about? Okay, he does. See, you wouldn't say that this is a knucklehead.
He is. He's 1,000% trying to follow the Jeter blueprint to a T. Outside of avoiding getting married at age 40, he's married now. But outside of that, he follows the Jeter blueprint to a T. He's not a guy that goes out. He's not a guy. I don't even know that he drinks. And he always gives like boring answers because he doesn't want any PR disasters. So, I mean, he's a baseball obsessed guy.
Okay, good to know. And look, again, I like him. I like the player. I like what he stands for. And I love the fact that he told the Yankees to stuff it.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever tells the Yankees to take their money and stuff it. And if he went to the Mets, tell me that wouldn't be great. Mike's in Worcester. Mike, what do you got?
What's up, guys? I just wanted to talk about the difference in like the home run race versus every other sport when they're, at the top of their game, whether it's, in the NBA, it went from dunks to three-pointers. In the NFL, it went from rushing touchdowns to passing touchdowns. The MLB is the only one who's behind the curve in what their most exciting aspect of the sport is, and I don't know how they can bring it back. I'll take your call off the air.
Well, wait, what's the most exciting part of the sport?
Well, it's got to be the home run. Everybody, I think most people would agree the home run 90s race was the most exciting time in the sport.
Okay, but again, Mike, to say that they're behind the curve, Jared, correct me if I'm wrong. Has a Major League Baseball posted historic home run numbers in the last 10 years?
2019, there were more home runs hit in that year than at any point during the steroid era.
Okay, so I don't know what the hell this guy's saying about being behind the curve. What they've done, in fact, is devalue the home run. They hit so many of them that it doesn't mean anything anymore. So now you know what's happened? Because the game has turned into softball, and it's walks and home runs and strikeouts, we're now clamoring for pitch clocks and balls in play and doubles and triples and stolen bases and hit and runs. So, Jared, you tell me if I'm wrong, but the baseball's not behind the curve on the big play like the other sports. Baseball let it get too ridiculous and has now lost that as a special moment. Am I wrong?
I think what happened was the money in the game. Like the teams told you what they valued, and then the players adjusted to get paid the most money. So like teams would tell you like, yeah, that's nice that you hit 320, but your OPS was 750. We'd rather have the guy that hits 210, but his OPS is 830. And how do you get an OPS that's higher? You need a slugging percentage that's higher. So we don't care if you strike out a ton as long as your slugging percentage is higher. So yeah, I think that like the money dictated this quote unquote issue in baseball where it's just home runs and strikeouts because teams, organizations told you what they value and what's going to get you paid more.
Yeah, so that's a fair point. I mean, it's all formulas now. It's all metrics. But, the idea that baseball somehow was behind the curve, oh, no, 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 no. No, quite the opposite. There were too many home runs. In fact, to the point where it's ruined the game on the field. You just don't see actual baseball anymore. Joe Murray's alongside tonight. He'll give you headlines here. And one of the beauties of having Joe, not that he isn't a beautiful person to begin with, but what
down a few pounds here, Jared. Joe,
in all seriousness, he does Jared. He looks fabulous.
I've known him for over a decade at this point. He looks amazing.
Okay, true story. That. I saw you in the hallway like a week ago, and I said, Joe, what did you do? Did you shave your beard or something? Like, you remember me saying this?
Yeah.
I thought your beard was bushier, and you went, no, I lost 75 pounds. Yeah. And I went, oh. And then I looked at you, and I went, right. Mm. So that's what it is.
A lot of Kowloon Scorpion Bowls.
So what are the beauties of having Joe is that Joe has odds on everything. Like, for example, the odds of Aaron Judge coming to the Red Sox.
Mm.
We'll tell you what those are. Joe will get you caught up on headlines. And I said I want to get to some other things with Jared as well. Believe me, we'll get there. That's next. Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
Now more baseball and more Mavs.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the Baseball Hour. Going to get right back to your calls. There are some things I want to catch up with Jared on for a moment, however, and then we'll get to Joe Murray giving us the odds on where Aaron Judge is going to end up. Joe's a big odds guy, gambling guy. He's as good an expert as there is, as you'll find. He's one of the bankroll boys, along with Dan Lifshatz, Dan the Angry Call Screener. Used to work for us on Felger and Mass. But anyway, Jared, let me start here. The Kevin Plawecki saga. What was your take on that whole thing?
I think it's not just one straight point of view that I had on it, because on one hand, you can understand why the Red Sox would do this. Mm-hmm. They have other players that they wanted to take a look at. He at the time was third string catcher. I like what Reese McGuire has been. Obviously, Connor Wong. He hit really well. And I think he worked really well with Nate, if I'm not mistaken, in spring training. So you get why Plawecki was the odd man out from a catching perspective. I think where I disagreed with it was the timing. They definitely knew that this was coming. This wasn't like a spur of the moment decision on Friday night. Like, they knew that week that this was going to come. And I think Heim did I don't know if it was, I can't remember what interview he did, but he did some interview where he acknowledged, like, we knew exactly how it was going to be received in the clubhouse.
Right.
So if you knew that, why you're out of it? Like, why not give the heads up? Like, hey, Friday, we're going to let you catch Waka. That's your guy. You've been his personal catcher. So after Friday, like, you know, we're going to designate you. We're going to give you a head start to find another team so that you can go play somewhere else. Maybe a contender will pick you up. That ultimately wasn't the case. He ended up with the Rangers. But if you knew a couple of days in advance, like, I think you should have at least given the guys in the room the opportunity, because a lot of guys went home. Like Nathan Eovaldi went home. Nathan Eovaldi was his roommate in spring training. He didn't have the chance to like say bye before he left. So that was where I disagreed with it. Like from a baseball perspective, it makes sense. Fine. You can also make the case that there were other guys on the roster that maybe you didn't quite need that could have been designated if you wanted to create a roster spot for Franklin Hermann. There could have been other guys in the chopping block before Plawecki, but I get it from a baseball perspective. I just think that they could have handled it differently from the clubhouse perspective.
Okay, so look, let me just share this again more for the listeners and for you. Look, this is pro sports. Guys get released. It happens. And so whether it was now or at the end of the year, he was gone. He was gone. They weren't going to bring him back next year, clearly. And so, like, I sort of look at it and say the rules are different. Could the Red Sox have handled it better? Sure. No question. At the end of the day, though, what are we really bitching about? And I'll tell you what my big takeaway was, Jared. Further indication of the, what's the word I'm looking for? The resentment or the discontent that the clubhouse has with the front office and ownership. So just throw it on the fire. Another log. Again, because I thought the reaction to it was over the top. I thought it was too strong. Given, you know, the reality is, well, we don't like it. We're pissed off. Fine. Okay, we get it. But what did you think was going to happen in 3 weeks anyway? He was gone. Okay, so, but the fact that they reacted the way they did tells you how badly they look upon the front office now. Further evidence of that. To me, that was, that was my ultimate takeaway from it. At the end of the day, Plawecki's getting his full salary. He wasn't going to be a Red Sox after this year anyway. So, like, you know, the damage of it was not him. It was more the people around him who are dissatisfied with the organization to begin with. So that's sort of how I looked at it. As for Aaron Judge, the odds of Judge ending with another team if he does not re-sign with the Yankees. So I should give you that caveat up front. These are odds only if he does not return to the New York Yankees. Okay, Judge Joe.
Judge Joe. I like that.
So who are the top 3 to 5 teams?
I'll give it to you in a second, but Jared, I don't know if you saw it, but do you have any insight if it wasn't the Yankees, where you think he'd end up?
Yeah, so a lot of people have been saying the Giants, and I think that the Mets are probably the top two because of the money. But I've also, like, the insight that I can give you is that there were players at this deadline and this past deadline, multiple, that I talked to that in other organizations as well, they were like, I don't know if I want to play for the Mets, because to them, like, Steve Cohen has been a deterrent almost. Like, it's almost like even if the Mets have a winning culture right now, some of the players are still looking at the Mets as like, it still seems a little too circusy for me. I'm not putting that on Judge, but I have been told that by players. So I don't know. I don't know how that affects Aaron Judge's view of the New York Mets if they were to just roll out a 5-year deal for $250, like, because that would be the play. Like, I think Aaron Judge is going to sign with the team that offers him the most years, but I do think that the Mets will probably come in with the highest AAV.
Mets are the favorite, 3-1 odds, so $100 wins you $300. The Dodgers come in second, 4-1, which they have money, so they'll go out and spend. Red Sox come in 5-1 odds.
So they're third.
The Red Sox are third in this. And then it gets a little interesting. Astros, Rangers, Blue Jays, Giants, White Sox, Phillies.
Okay, so after the Red Sox at 5-1, what are the next odds?
It's 11-2 or 7-1.
Okay, all right.
But the Red Sox are in the mix. I mean, this is a legit, you know, 5-1 odds are great odds. Not the favorite doesn't always win. He obviously could go back to the Yankees, right? I mean,
what are those odds?
Don't have those, but I assume they're probably minus, you know, 200. So, like, that, it's probably the strong favorite that he'll go back there.
Absolutely. Yeah. They have to be the strong favorite. So, Jared, let me put it to you this way, and I would love to know what people think of this one, too. How am I going to phrase this? What would make the Yankees more likely to step up and give Judge more than they want to? Okay. In other words, if Judge has a deal on the table, years ago, the Red Sox almost had Bernie Williams signed, center fielder, They had him. They had basically agreed to terms, and then George Steinbrenner swooped in at the last minute, gave Williams more money, trumped the offer, and Bernie Williams went back to the Yankees. So they swooped in and they prevented him from coming to Boston. Is that more likely to happen if Judge signs here or with the Mets?
Ooh, I had this conversation last night, and we arrived at the conclusion that I think the Yankees would be more perturbed by Judge going to the Mets.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely the Mets. And you know why? Because he would steal headlines from them and fans and eyeballs and everything. He would steal market share from them. That's why, because then it becomes it's a total business steal. They get walloped over the head by the Mets. They would hate that. They would absolutely hate it. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump down your throat, Jared. Go ahead.
No, those are the points that we kind of arrived at where, you know, if you're the New York Mets and you're Steve Cohen, and Steve Cohen has essentially already told you, whether verbally or through action, he doesn't care about the luxury tax. So if he identifies Aaron Judge as the guy that he wants to get this offseason, and you're Aaron Judge, who you've turned down north of 200. He basically turned down the contract that David Price got from the Red Sox.
Correct.
He bet on himself. I think the number starts with a 3. And the other factor here, and I don't know if you agree with this, Maz, but if the Yankees win the World Series, I think that makes Aaron Judge even more likely to leave, because it's like, well, we got what we needed from Judge. Now we're kind of ready to turn the page on a new chapter, a new era, versus unfinished business. How can we let this guy go after failing to win a championship once again?
No, it's a fair point. I do think it gets easier to let a guy go after you've won. I mean, look at the Red Sox. They're having the opposite.
Look at the Braves, Freddie Freeman.
Right, yeah. Right. Good point.
That's a good one.
And so in the case of Bogarts has more leverage now because the Red Sox can't let him walk out the door. Jeremy's in Westport. Hi, Jeremy.
What's up, guys? I usually call in the Falls on Magic Show talking about the Pats, but I'm going to talk a little Red Sox. So my question is, Maz, or all you guys, on a 1 to 10, seriously, what do you guys honestly think on a 1 to 10, the chances of Aaron Judge signing with the Red Sox? Before you answer, have you guys ever considered, I think about this all the time, the Red Sox should, like, do whatever they got to do to get back the Epstein. Hein Bloom can, like, put an egg in a shoe and beat it. And that's pretty much that on that. What's your guys' thoughts on that? And on the 1 to 10, Maz, what's your thoughts on, like, okay, what do you honestly think on a 1 to 10 on Aaron Judge?
Yeah, I got you. Let me ask these guys first. Joe, you go first. 1 to 10, Aaron Judge coming here. What do you put it at?
5 to 1 odds. 5.
No, no, 1 to 10, Joe.
Well, 5.
At 5.
Yeah, I think they have a shot.
So, but 5 to 1 odds would be 20%. That'd be a 2.
Well, I know. I think they're, I'm going to go.
So you think it's 50-50?
I think it's 50-55. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Of course, he needs to. It's going to raise his price. Having interest in the Red Sox, that's the best interest for him. Use their leverage against the Mets and the Yankees.
Okay. Carrabas, what about you?
4.5.
4.5? You guys are way too high. What the hell is wrong with you?
Maz, who's close personal friends with the guy, and who's behind a microphone at 98.5 The Sports Hub? We basically live together. I talk to him every day. We're close personal friends. We have these conversations daily.
Because he finally acknowledged you on Twitter?
No. He remembered my name. He came up and he shook my hand one day. And then the next time the Yankees came back, he said, "Hey, Jared." He said my name.
Wow.
He's buttering up. I mean, Maz, he is greasing the skids. He is kissing my ass so that he can come here and be a star. And I'm going to help him do that.
So let me get this right, Jared. He shook your hand. Did you wash the hand again, Jared, if you ever left it the way it was?
I mean, he was more starstruck by me, if we're being honest.
Oh, really? Oh, so yes. He didn't wash his hand.
Correct.
I got it. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a 1 or a 2 of Judge coming here.
No.
It's a 1 or a 2.
You're wrong.
The odds are low. But if Judge really wants to stick it to the Yankees, he'll go to the Mets. That would be fun.
And Tony, I know this is the baseball reporters.
Do we have breaking news?
No, nothing breaking, but just to throw it in here, Woj just spoke to the media about the Ime Udoka situation. And
Woj did?
Yeah. Woj is talking to on ESPN.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And he mentioned that there was a breakdown in trust, in judgment, and in leadership.
From the Celtics.
That's it.
Judgment, trust, and leadership.
Yep. So
well, then he's toast. He's toast. I felt this way all day. They're trying to hash out the settlement. Ime Udoka's toast. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's go to Martin in Texas on the Red Sox pitching staff. Go ahead, Martin.
Hey, Tony, I just wanted to see you and Jared's opinion about Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford. I don't think Tanner Houck can be a starter because he only has two good pitches. And do you think that Cutter Crawford has a chance to crack the bottom of the rotation next year? Okay. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Martin. Jared, go ahead. What do you think?
I don't want Tanner Houck in the rotation, mostly because even when he was healthy, he's only seeing the lineup twice. I hate that. I want him in the bullpen. And as far as Cutter Crawford goes, he had a good first half and then he completely fell off. If Cutter Crawford is in your rotation to start the year next year, then that's not a good spot to be in.
Okay, so he's an end of the rotation guy at best. I think that's what you're saying. I happen to agree with you. I think that's what he is, and he's better off as a depth guy.
I want him to be the Stephen Wright of next year's team.
Okay, like a swingman.
Give him some starts. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, swingman. And I'll tell you what, I'll take him as a swingman over Winkowski any day of the week. What about you, Murray?
Yeah, why not? Sure. The whole season for me right now is all about Aaron Judge, and that's it. So any other thoughts about the future or whatever, get me to Aaron Judge. Let's get through 12 more games, and then I'll probably be into the playoffs only because I'll bet on it.
Okay, only because I haven't had the chance to ask you this yet. Out of curiosity, what would you do next year with Whitlock? Would you make him a starter or a reliever?
So the way that I think he's more important out of the bullpen, personally.
So but I'd start him.
But their staff, they've... I mean, who are they going to put in the starting rotation? Are they going to go back to the well with the Rich Hills and the even Eovaldi for that matter and guys like that? Like, yeah, I don't know. I still don't think Bloom is going to be back despite what everyone has said.
Jared, what do you think of that? You think there's any chance Bloom is gone?
No, I don't think that they would have come out and said like, hey, no, this is our guy just to fire him in a few months.
Never know anymore in this town, you know?
True.
Never know anymore.
Yeah, I think Bloom is back. I don't think
it's been half a decade since they've traded for a legit starting pitcher. Like everyone points to the free agent market, like Jacob DeGrom. Like they're not going to go out and spend $40 million on DeGrom or whoever, or Carlos Rodon. Maybe they do get Rodon. I don't know. But everyone is like, no one is pointing to the Red Sox have some pieces that they could go out and maybe trade for a starting pitcher. I don't know who that guy is, but that's Heim's job.
Yeah, they got to add to the rotation, no question about it. And again, I'd prefer some youth in there. Anyway, Jared, thank you as always. Jared Karabas of DraftKings. We only got a couple of weeks left, Jared.
I know, I'll be in there next week. I just wanted to make sure I was home to see 61 tonight because you know what's happening.
In fact, Jared, I think we have only 2 weeks left.
Oh, so I guess that means we're going to have to do a dinner date.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, thanks for the help. Okay, Joe Murray's got your headlines here. Don't go anywhere. And then is it Jones or McCarthy? Is that what it is, Majori? Who do we got? Jones or McCarthy? Oh, good. Then we have someone on the show tonight who knows baseball. Suck it, Jones. We'll catch you tomorrow. Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.